Where does he get all those wonderful toys? It's GRD's Weekly!
Indeed it is, kids, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea. Welcome to GRD's Weekly, episode number...
194?
Oh, I love the questioning.
Yeah, look. Because I sent you an email going, I don't have my computer in front of me. Is it episode 194?
Yes, everyone. He sent me an email telling me he did not have access to his computer and couldn't check. So think about that.
It is 194. I remember.
Think about that, won't you? Hi there. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Some of us even have computers with us tonight.
Old school.
You smacked yourself in the face with that. That was awesome. Make sure you check us out at the forums at GeekRadioDaily.com, Facebook, Twitter, all those fun places that you can go. And the people bringing it to you tonight, well, someone that's not exactly happy, it's the Bruce.
You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did.
I'm really...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, generally not, no. And hey, the woman that's always questioning things, it's the Flintstress.
Is that dirty enough for you?
Hells no, bring it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Volatile, self-obsessed. And don't play well with others.
Well, screw you too, pal. What'd you be doing, Geeky?
Tons of stuff, yo. I even wrote some of them down. Aw, snap.
You gonna tell us?
I did.
Oh, okay. Look who thinks he's clever, Dan.
Strong Bad. Funny.
Miss you, Strong Bad.
Well, I'll start kind of backwards. Today we watched Orphan Black. You watched that show, Orphan Black?
I haven't seen it yet, unfortunately. I need to pick it up. I want to watch it, but
you should.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah, so this is the one where they're all clones of the same, so they all look the same. You know, it's one actress playing a whole bunch of different characters. Yeah. But there's like suburban housewife, and there's like dreadlocked college student, and then there's kind of like bad girl, bad girl Sarah.
Yes.
And you know, and it's just interesting. You know, sometimes they have to impersonate each other, and they're very entangled in each other's lives, and they're also trying to find out exactly what's going on. We got a cameo in this last episode. Well, not a cameo, like a guest starring appearance by, I don't know the actor's name, but he was the Australian from Eureka.
Max Headroom's Matt Frewer is guesting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lawnmower Man 2's
Eureka.
Matt Frewer.
I know him from Eureka.
I do not know him as Max Headroom.
I don't know that I ever saw that.
Doctors. Matt. What?
What?
I may have.
But you know of him. He was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, I guess.
No.
The stuff behind his head with the TV screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cultural phenomena. Okay, no, you don't deserve any more of that. Nope.
One more. You can't leave it hanging.
Yes, I can.
Let it hang.
Oh, I can do what I want. But yeah, so he showed up. And in this episode, the walls of all the various characters that we know's lives start to come down and things begin to intersect. So we're not going to continue to have wacky coincidences, just missed encounters. No. This week we're just like,
No.
Yep, exactly.
That was a cross between Madness and Batman.
Oh, Madness, Caddyshack, and Batman.
Yep, all of those.
Nice.
Rolled into one. When you get a song stuck in your head, sometimes you can't help it. You can do the A-Team theme.
But... Be the mashup. Be the mashup.
We did also watch Sherlock Holmes. What was the subtitle
Game
of Shadows. So this was the sequel.
The second Robert Downey Jr.
He's like punching
fast.
So
you've already forgotten this movie exists.
Yeah,
it wasn't
much.
Great.
I didn't see it, but it wasn't
as bad as the first one, but it still wasn't great.
It was better than the first one, the fact that it's basically the final problem. So you bring Moriarty in. And
anytime you get Moriarty, he doesn't look like... if you cast that actor in something else, I don't think he would look all that evil. But the fact that you know that he's Moriarty and he's acting his butt off in this. But he is just evil personified. And a ginger.
But, you know.
Oh, and a ginger.
Well, yes, because he's evil, you see.
Yes, exactly. He has no soul.
How that works. The only problem with the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movies is, one, I'm sorry, folks, I don't really care for Robert Downey Jr.'s interpretation of Holmes. I just don't.
Okay.
And no one else in the movie seems to either. I mean, for as much as...
You never forget that it's Robert Downey Jr. You never think you're looking at Sherlock Holmes.
That is true.
Yeah.
And Sherlock Holmes, while he has been a dick in many other ways, shapes, and forms, people at least always respected him. And this, everyone... Watson,
it's kind of like, what is this schlub doing
like,
here?
Oh, yeah, he's just that damn cousin of mine I've got to put up with because I made a promise to my aunt or whatever. Yeah. You know? If they're done with these movies, I'm fine with that.
I don't see a third one.
Yeah, and their
made.
Time periods were all messed up. So they had like people wearing like 1890s kind of like Victorian sort of steampunk-esque. And then they had some people in like clearly 1920s like sort of gangster sort of
Holmes
style.
Holmes is driving a car.
Right? He's driving a Model T car. Yeah. But, you know, but not one that had crank. It was just kind of like they were like, let's make it old-timey, but didn't really pay much attention to
which
time.
I have no concept idea. Why does Sherlock Holmes want a car back then when they're loud and noisy and don't blend in at all, why does the consulting detective want to travel around in that?
In something inconspicuous. You know, you just
so again, yeah. Again, go back and watch the Jeremy Brett episodes of Sherlock Holmes, and for the love of God, be watching the Benedict Cumberbatch ones now. Yeah. That's just that simple.
So that gets, Orphan Black was good. Sherlock Holmes was couldn't be called good, but not terrible.
It was there.
Let's get to some good stuff, Game of Thrones.
Hey now!
Now this episode, I didn't feel like it was action-packed as like the last three or four had been, but we got some really
tonight,
good
on
exposition.
A very special Game of Thrones.
I mean, we got to know some people, you know, and get some character development and some talking and some, you know, plot advancement, I think, in this episode.
So this episode was a little less rapey.
it was a little, I mean, not that nobody died, you know.
Well, I didn't say that.
But
they didn't die from raping.
Okay.
We don't know if they got raped first, but they definitely got killed.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that one, I meant Roz with Joffrey.
I see what you're going for there.
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't been to Daenerys in a while, and we haven't been, I mean, we've kind of been all over the place, but the plot that we did get in this episode was advancing. I thought it was still pretty good, but it didn't have those moments of like epic sword fighting battles, and I mean, there were a couple. What did you think of the episode?
We had to advance the plot lines. The several plot lines were running all at once, and we didn't get just a big dramatic thing happening, which still fine. It was a fantastic episode, but you know, since they've started this season, they've done nothing but hit us over the head with awesome, crazy shit up on the screen, and this time they're like, we're going to let it build. And then you're going to wonder the next week, we're just going to twist you.
Exactly. Well, we're headed towards the Red Wedding, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up. So
insane,
it's going to be
happening.
Good. But it's just kind of like, yeah, these last, I think, three before had been just like dynamite knockout episodes. And this one was just kind of
catching the breath a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Still good times.
Time, so. Doctor Who, we also watched.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
So this one was Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
No.
This one was... What was it?
The Crimson Horror.
The Crimson Horror, right. Right. We already talked about Journey to the Center of the Star.
We did, last week even.
Yeah, so this was the one where it was Sweetville, and the people were all being turned red, and he was a monster up in the attic kind of thing. But I did like that we got those other characters, the lizard, Silurian? No.
The Silurian. Santarin.
And her friends, and you know, and the one, I don't remember what his race is, the potato guy, sort of.
Santarin.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, that's who did you think I was saying?
I don't know. I thought you were saying her name. What's her name?
No, I'm not. No.
Sorry.
That's not what I'm saying.
But he only gets a couple of one-liners here and there, but he's a pretty funny guy.
Strax is pretty good.
He's straight up. He's just like, okay, let's blow him up first and then ask him questions.
Yeah. So I like his refreshing approach. But we had gone a decent amount of episode, and I'm like, where's Clara?
Can I say for the record, though, if they'd listened to him this time, that was the right approach. That's exactly what they should have done. You will listen to Strax the Invincible or whatever. You know.
Yeah, whatever it is.
No, it is Strax. I don't know if he calls himself the Invincible. It's
probably
Madame Vostra, it's Jenny, and Strax.
Okay, thank you.
And if they don't get a goddamn spinoff.
Yeah, right? I'd still rather see Captain Jack and Rivers spinoff.
Oh, okay.
Well, isn't that
it's not like that's
right
a real
now?
Thing. Yeah, well, she was on it briefly and they were on the set. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Doctor Who, still firing on all cylinders, very fun. We're leading up to the 50th, is getting closer.
And closer.
And closer.
And closer.
And we had another, was that since then? No.
I don't know what you're talking about. We're still talking about Doctor Who.
Yeah, we're still talking about Doctor Who. Sorry, go ahead.
Because one of the coolest things happened in this episode.
And?
A reference to a classic Doctor Who reference was made that she got.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to remember. Hold on. Don't tell me. Well, yes, tell me because we're doing a live show.
I once spent ages trying to get a gobby Australian back to Heathrow Airport.
Right.
That would be Tegan, who Peter Davison is the one who dealt with her the most. Tom Baker picked her up.
Yeah.
Actually in Legopolis, his last episode. So there you go. And yes, for quite a while, Tegan traveled with the doctor and he was always trying to get her back to Heathrow. In The Visitation, the episode that we watched that you know her from,
right. He
got her to Heathrow just something like, you know, 200 years before Heathrow Airport.
So
they were
in a field, but it was the right place, just not the right time.
And he even says, Braveheart, Clara, and the Fifth Doctor, Braveheart Tegan, was something that he would say quite a bit, which was awesome. I enjoyed that. The Doctor also says that the people there believe that, you know, the last image a dead person sees is retained in the retina.
Yeah.
Referenced and sort of used in the Ark in Space, which you've seen also,
I have,
but you didn't remember that. But that's still, that was quite awesome. And this is the first time ever. Anyone has ever figured out that a companion is traveling through time without being told by the doctor and or the companion. Because they're at the end where the kids have the pictures?
Yeah.
That's never happened before in Doctor
Who. Yeah, for them to have figured it
ever.
Out. Yeah, but that was a little bit like, okay, you just happened to stumble across that stuff.
Thank you.
That was a little bit weird.
Yes, it was.
Well, they could have been stumbling on it for a little while. And then.
No,
finally...
but kids are just going to go randomly do research. Oh, hey, I just happen to have been looking at pictures from Victorian times. I mean...
No, they were looking for pictures of her naked.
Not everybody
That's
has
Billy
a one-track
Flynn
mind.
At geekradiodaily.com.
Whatever. But yeah, that's definitely... I hope they don't just use that as a plot device and just... We're just supposed to go with that. I hope that there's really... That we get more of that.
Well, the next episode's going to be because of that.
I hope. And I mean, I just really need... I'm not trying to be impatient, but I'm notoriously impatient because I want Clara mystery. I want to know who she is. I need a clue. Even if we don't like get there, I'm not saying we have to solve it next episode, but I need some clues. All we've gotten so far is dead ends, and it's getting frustrating.
Well, aren't dead ends clues because they tell you what it's not?
Yeah.
And that's how logic problems work. Mm-hmm. You figure out what isn't true to figure out what is.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm ready for a little is and not not.
Not not.
Who is it? Also, for the record...
Doctor.
The Repulsive Case of the Red Leech is a Sherlock Holmes story that was never written down, but is mentioned in another Sherlock Holmes story, which okay. is kind of what they were going for in this one, which is really awesome. So I like that because the tying together Sherlock, it's still a better Sherlock Holmes story than right. Game yeah. of Shadows was. In that story.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, right. Definitely.
Just how that goes.
So yeah, but I mean, the new season is still going strong.
100th episode since the series has come back.
Nice.
Yay.
That's good times. And... Diana Rigg should be in everything.
Right. Right.
Everything. You know what these are? These are the wrong hands.
Right.
Oh
right.
my God, she's
right?
awesome.
She is so awesome.
So see, you need to be watching Game of Thrones because she's doing the same thing there, just making people feel just as stupid as they are.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. You can do that.
Yeah. That was a great line because he says something like, you know, in the wrong hands, this technology, this would be like,
this could have life on Earth.
Right. And she goes, well,
you
guess
know
what?
These are? These are the wrong hands.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So, love that. And I watched, they're doing all these like little retrospective kind of things, like the companions of the Doctor, like the science of Doctor Who, like timey-wimey of Doctor Who. And they've been kind of hit and miss. The companions, I watched that one. And like Donna Noble wasn't in it at all,
what?
But everybody else from like New Who was there. So
yeah,
they had Rose
course.
And Mickey and John Barrowman and... I know I said character names and then people names, but
Freemag.
Yep. And so they had like pretty much everybody
Billy
except
Piper.
Yeah. But they didn't have Donna Noble at all, and she like they barely even mentioned her.
That's
and
crazy.
I was like, she's a lot of people's favorites, or maybe not anybody's favorite, but I like her.
She can be a lot of people's favorite, or
nobody, or nobody. But I don't care because I liked her.
Somewhere in between,
liked her a lot better than Rose after Rose's what sixth or seventh episode.
Oh.
No, what three episodes?
No, when she fell in love.
Three episodes.
Rose
in
and Eccleston. I was gonna say Rose and Eccleston were fine. It
yeah,
was Rose
she
and
had
Tennant.
That little moments, but yeah, it was with Tennant that all of a sudden, Googa Gaga, I'm in love with the Doctor, and I was really just not. It was bothering me.
Yeah, I can. Well, there's sort of there's been some flirtation going on with the Doctor and Clara.
Well,
too,
sure,
so.
Flirtations I have no problems with, and genuine affection I have no problems with, but this pining, this outright
right.
pining for the Doctor
That's
is
true.
Well,
it was
about,
like a crush, and then it, I don't know, you know.
Well, what about Amy, who wanted to just take the Doctor for a ride? And I don't mean in the TARDIS.
I can sort of
maybe in the TARDIS.
I can sort of understand that more than I can the I'm Billy Piper and I'm in love with you thing. The wedding's still happening. Her world that she thought was she
right.
told for so long she was crazy and it's real and all this is happening. I can understand
getting married tomorrow.
I can
so.
Understand it, but yeah, that didn't bother me nearly as much as what two seasons of goddamn Billy Piper. Oh, I'm in love and I'm a human. Blah, blah.
Yeah,
sorry. And I really like Billy Piper. I really like the character of Rose until like I think it was the third episode
of
the Tenet.
Well, and Clara really like she sets the Doctor like gets him all flummoxed, you know, like
yes,
like fun. What Snogbox and there's such a thing as too keen, and he's all like, no, I don't mean that, but he kind of does
hey,
when
hey.
It's just kind of flustery. So that's cool.
He's got that perfect hey moment.
Mm-hmm. We also watch New Girl.
Yes, we did.
Zooey Deschanel and friends, and it was a pretty good episode. So they finally finally hooked up with Mick, and dun, dun, dun. And her friend is Indian and gets her palms hennaed for her wedding.
Yeah,
and then falls asleep on her hand and gets henna all over her face. With Jess manages to like rub off at least sort of, but gives it looks like she's at 5 o'clock shadow.
It does.
It was pretty funny.
God.
And Rob Reiner's back as her dad. So
everybody on that show, that show is just comedy gold. I love that freaking show.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Big Bang Theory was another new episode, and that was good. The girls are supposed to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
But then Amy gets like the TSA agent gets a little touchy-feely, and then she socks her. So
in the face.
They end up playing Dungeons and Dragons, which was pretty hilarious. And I, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, Penny acts like there's no geeky girls in the world. And I know that they...
She does.
You know, so it's just kind of like, whatever, Penny, I'm sure she's thinking like nobody ever plays Dungeons and Dragons, but there's plenty of geeky girls who have played.
I heard people I know's voices. I heard these ladies' voices in my head going, I play Dungeons and Dragons. Thank you very much. So, yeah.
That, it was that still manly funny. Voice, too.
It was funny the way that they were, she was trying to still make it into like a, like, I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going to, you know, make it at like Vegas as much as possible.
Like that, I thought it was such a weird line where Howard's like, well, I'm supposed to roll all the dice. No, you're not. You're not supposed to roll all the dice.
Well,
you roll a good majority of the dice.
Yeah. Maybe that was their house rules. And like,
could be.
I don't know. And I would have thought that like celebrity voices would kind of take you out of the experience. I don't know that I'd want that in a Dungeon Master.
No, that one, if it's done well, yeah, that's kind of fun.
Because Nick Cage was pretty good.
Yeah.
I really thought the Al Pacino was sublimely brilliant.
Yes. I liked them. I liked them. They were good. They were done well.
That one didn't sound like an impression so much as it really sounded like he was doing Pacino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was
he's walking. He's no podcasting George Siegfried, let me tell you that right now.
It was decent, but
a little shaky, but still. We know who it was.
We also watched Glee, and I think we're almost done with Glee. Like there's one more episode for the rest of the season, and I don't know that we're going to watch it anymore. At least I don't know that I'm ever going to watch it. I know, but I just like, the show had heart at first. This
certainly
was about
did.
The Misfits, and it was music, and they were, and it was just really fun. The kids were really singing it. You could tell they had rehearsed a lot. You know what I mean? Obviously, you don't break into song and everybody knows the moves, and that's not how real world really works. But now, anytime they do a musical number, not only does it feel like they're writing the plot around the music, even when they perform, it sounds pre-recorded, like produced, like it's slightly auto-tuned. It's like the mix is just perfect, like as if it was recorded in the studio, and it does not sound at all like a performance. I know it's like, you're complaining that Glee is not real, but it's just, it's lost what it had that was charming.
It's, if you go back and watch that first half season, The Road to Sectionals, I think that's all they ever thought they would get to make, because it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's moving.
And they lost it?
They just ran out of, you know, I mean, they couldn't keep the kids there in high school forever unless they wanted to pull The Simpsons, you know what I mean? So they couldn't have kept the same cast. Right, they had to have them go. But these replacements are all right, but they're not, I don't know.
For instance, it's regionals, and the second song they sang was?
How does that song go? The one about, I like it. I don't care.
I crashed my car to a bridge. I don't care. I love it.
That song.
The one that's like four women singing all at the same time.
I don't care.
So there's.
I love it.
It's a fun party song,
but it
shows absolutely no
vocal range at all.
Yeah, like, no skill.
It showed no vocal range at all. Plus, they were all just sort of dancing around, just like pretend sort of rapping and not really doing any dance moves. And they showed the other team, and the other team was really good. It, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, when they won in the past, they at least made those kids look better than all of the other kids.
Yeah.
And this one, they really did not look like they should have won.
It was rather phoned in. I got to see if they say they'll do one more season, I can be there, because as I've said before,
we finished Smallville.
For the love of God, we finished Smallville.
Yes, this is true.
I know, but it's just like, it's just bothering me.
I mean, we still have at least.
What's her name from the mom from Family Ties? Meredith
Baxter.
Yeah, had a guest star on it. And her as like an older lesbian couple, and with her other counterpart, that was a cute part of it.
That was.
So
it was a good time.
I think that Blaine really thinks that people don't want him to get married because of the whole gay thing, and not the fact that A, he's
they're
really young,
too young,
and
to
B, they're not even together. Like, ask him to get back together with you first before you ask him to get married to you.
So as far as another season goes, we'll at least have half a season with Blaine, and who knows, maybe Finn will be done with college by then. Never can tell.
Whatever, he really would have come back for that. He's supposed to be in Ohio
Yeah.
At college.
They had the wedding finally.
The wedding or whatever.
Surprise wedding. So surprise.
Yeah. Done with Glee.
Moving on.
Still don't care.
The Office is almost done. And even though it is nowhere near as strong, we're
going
to do a 2-hour episode and then The Office is done. And they're already starting to sort of like say goodbye, you know, like shows do. Like Andy doesn't really work there anymore and like Daryl doesn't work there anymore. And like, but they're going to have like everybody come back for the finale. It's nice when a show knows they're going to end and they get to do it the way that they want to do it. Whether you could say they do it right.
Isn't that right, Farscape?
It's just nice when they can do something like that. Like Jim and Pam were having a little bit of like relationship issues, but they sort of, you know, more than sort of worked it out. And so it's just kind of, it does feel like a good, nice ending for the show.
Last night's episode was where they the episode ends with them sitting down to watch the documentary they've been filming.
Yeah.
Next week is 6 months later and it's for 2 hours. So there you go. So
yeah.
That alone is a fascinating concept, because if you didn't watch the original version of The Office, David Brent went away, but he was still hung around. So we got to see what happened after the Office documentary aired over there.
Yeah.
They only did 2 seasons over there.
Yeah, they only did like 6 episodes.
Yeah. So definitely different. Community. We watched Community, and it was funny because it was like, wasn't it just cold and now it's like warm weather? So they're kind of making fun of the fact that like they had to change the time frame on it. We got
their winter spring semester, and then they'll be doing their summer winter
semester, whatever it is. It was very funny. And this was a good episode because we had crossover with the evil timeline.
So we had the evil
Jeff
game.
Rolls the dice and the die, and it landed in the crack of the table, so it didn't, you know, but it all, you know.
Which opened up a portal to it.
This one with the whole, like, this only happened in his mind deal, I was totally fine with that.
Okay.
I was totally fine with that because it was, like, the stress and the pressure of, like, him having to make a big life change. Here's the thing, though. They kept saying he was graduating, potentially going to work at a law firm.
Okay.
You cannot get a 4-year degree from a community college. Now, they never said bachelor's, but
he's graduating, didn't say what kind of job he was getting at the law firm.
No, at the law firm to be a lawyer.
Go back
again.
And be a lawyer.
That was the whole thing.
Plot of
they
the
caught
show.
Him not having a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
Not having a law degree either. I mean, you have to still go to law school. So I mean, it's a silly TV show, but still, I was just kind of like.
So you mean Community is not deeply rooted in reality?
No!
Just wanted to make sure. The community college with lockers is not rooted in reality?
No!
They had a high budget on this episode, though. They had this paintball gun that turned your whole body blue and then morphed you into the other universe, and that was cool.
They made paintball cool again.
Oh.
Jordan Abbott in the morning.
So the question you got to ask yourself, would you be happy with this as a final episode?
The one we just saw?
Mm-hmm. Would you be happy with this as a final episode?
No.
Really?
Okay. I want Community forever. Why?
Because Dan Harmon's gone. This was just half a season. They may or may not bring it back next season.
I didn't realize we didn't have one more. No.
That was the season finale.
Oh,
you didn't realize
you'd
have another one?
No!
Womp, womp.
Sorry, I had Technesia.
Oh, damn it. That'll happen, Chelsea.
Yes, it will. So, I love Community so much. Maybe I'll change my cover photo back to Community. And since I'm sure NBC is watching my every move, that they'll just bring the show back and I'll just be fine.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just you.
Exactly.
That'll totally work. Nothing could possibly go
wrong. We went out for dinner one time. We lost Punky.
Oh, God.
Oh, Punker. Another one that PRS can do pretty well.
Oh, Punker.
Oh, Punker. That was not right.
Mahoney.
I read a book called Not Much, Just Chillin', which was a journalist from the Washington Post, spent an entire year at a middle school observing like a group of kids actually went like to their houses and stuff. And like, but it was like this introspective, basically she got to the point where the kids would just act normally around her because they knew that she wasn't going to turn around and tell their teachers or anything.
Yeah.
And so like she was able to actually live the life, like observe all of the stuff that they do. And then, but she's also like a brain psychologist she's not a brain psychologist, but she did a lot of research. So
I'm a heart psychologist myself.
I'm a left big toe psychologist.
I'm a boob psychologist.
You may have to bleep this, but fuck you.
Wow.
Yeah.
What time? Sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
24.
You're right. I'm not. I'm sorry. I just made post. Aw.
You made post. You're fixing it.
Okay. But It was just interesting because it's like this insight on like why middle school kids are crazy. And middle school kids have a tendency to totally get lumped in with like either with high school kids or with elementary school. You know what I mean? Like not, they're a very unique entity. And so it was just really interesting. She did what's actually kind of cool. She did all the research at a middle school that's like down the street from where I grew up. It wasn't my middle school, but it was like the rival middle school in my hometown. So like they go to a birthday party at like the local indoor swim park, and I'm like,
no,
oh,
bitch,
yeah,
it's my place.
You know, so they didn't say what the name of it was or anything, but they knew.
But you
and,
knew.
And they went to the skating rink, but the skating rink is closed. But like then, it would have been open. It was like from almost 10 years ago. So it was just, it was an interesting book. So if you, I don't know, I know it's a kind of random, specific niche.
So if
but
you'd
if
like
you're
to
a
time
middle
travel
school
through
teacher,
her childhood,
no, I'm just saying, if you're a middle school teacher and you're interested in knowing why middle school kids are crazy, then it was a pretty good book. And last thing,
they're bags of hormones and stupid.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, I've worked in middle schools before. Believe me, they're just bags of hormones and stupid.
Yep, pretty much.
That's it.
The other night we went to a dance party at one of our favorite clubs in town. It was supposed to be a fundraiser for the roller derby, but it was on a Wednesday and it was raining so
its ass
it wasn't
off.
Superly well attended, but it was still a fundraiser for the team.
Indeed.
And it was 80s themed.
80s
so I'll have
to
show you a picture, or if you follow us on me on Facebook or whatever. I think I tagged you in it.
Yeah,
it was totally 80s night. So he had like the pop collar and the rayon shirt and the and the sleeves rolled up on the blazer and the cuff rolled jeans and the penny loafers with the pennies inside.
No socks.
Oh, okay.
No yeah,
right.
Very
well.
Authentic.
I was absolutely the douchebag from a John Hughes film. And why? Because no matter what, he gets laid.
Casting?
He gets laid no matter what.
Okay. And I had really big hair. And I had an off-the-shoulder cut shirt and like crazy colors,
your
neon everywhere.
Your description is the best. What did you describe it as?
A cross between Madonna and Jim.
So there you go.
Oh, God.
It was truly outrageous.
Oh, don't.
Yeah. Although basically all the worst of Jim and the worst of Madonna. It was pretty
truly.
It was pretty much a train wreck, but
truly.
It was fun.
Because
really?
The,
we had a
the
good
best
time.
Of Madonna and the best of Jim would
Shanghai Express was not represented in that at all.
And I had jelly shoes.
Yes.
Oh, show Bruce your bruise.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
What the deuce
he fell.
Happened?
Yes,
noticed.
I did.
There were weird lights and the stage was black and the floor
I
was
fell
black.
Off the stage.
He fell off the stage.
And
we were doing
and
the costume
hit the inside
contest.
Of your, if you
instead
were,
of it hitting his head.
Since you're actually not here, I'm going to describe this hematoma that he happens to have.
It is quite
it's
quite a contusion.
It's approximately, I'd say, about 6 inches long.
So we should take a picture of
and,
this one.
And it's on the inside of his arm.
Yep.
So, yeah, on his right arm. So how the hell did you do that?
Fell off the stage, but not directly onto the floor.
Well, you see, here's how it works. Yeah, they have sort of an octagonal stage-looking thing at the front, and there's a little rectangular narrow walkway that doesn't cover the entire space of the octagonal stage. And there are big, bright lights pointing at you from the front. And then when you turn around, it's completely black, and the stage is black, and the darkness around it is black. And so you step where you think it is, and half of your foot is there, and then when you lean forward to step, the other half is not there, and you fall. And it goes into slow motion, and much like Mario, I had just enough time to go, if I don't twist in the air, my head is going to hit where my arm hit.
I'm
very glad that did not happen.
And then got up, fine, danced, la 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 la, and then got home, and 4 hours later, when it was time to go to work, I could barely walk with my right foot.
But it's better
much,
now.
Much better
much,
now.
Much better now.
Oh, good.
Yes. So my knee is also sort of tweaked. So you should have seen us like sitting around last night with like everybody had ice and heat or something on. It was just kind of like a
party. Tons of pillows. Things are propped up.
Yeah.
You left out the 4 orange crushes. That could have had something to do with it too.
We were just talking about what happened. I fell off the stage. That is what happened.
Didn't say what happened because why it happened or any
alcohol
contributing factors.
Was a contributing factor.
It was. So I'm sure I forgot like 5 million things, but that has been my geeky week.
Let's start off.
Sorry, I'm making a note.
No, ruffle the paper. Come on.
Rustle.
Hang on, there you go. Two pieces of paper here. Hang on,
sir.
Paper.
Okay, Bruce, we got it.
But he said ruffle the paper, right?
Yeah,
once.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, first thing that
oftentimes you listen.
The Rugged Maniac was the first thing that I had, the biggest geeky thing that I did this week. This was a 5K obstacle course.
Okay.
This was not one of the best ones that I've done. I've done the Warrior Dash twice, and I thought all of them would be that same quality. This was not. This was, first and foremost, we did it on a Saturday when it was all of 53 degrees outside.
Cold.
Yes. A little bit of wind, some overcast, and damn it, they didn't get rid of any of those water obstacles or the sprinklers.
Well, you're supposed to be a man, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Why do you have sprinklers on when it's 53 degrees?
So you're saying that you saw this, you got there?
No! I was not thrilled. But no, I was doing this run with a couple other people, and we were going to go through it together. We were going to start together. We were going to finish together. Damn it all. One of the main problems that they had was some of the mud pits that they had. You had a low crawl through under barbed wire.
So you got a mud bog?
No, but we'll get to that.
Oh.
Yeah. They put the mud directly over gravel. So you were low crawling through the mud on top of gravel.
Huh.
And I will show you my knee later and show you my knees, what they look like.
I saw around.
Yeah. I had skin on my knees when I went to this thing.
I did.
I saw, I looked, I checked. Not when I left. There was no skin on my knees because just going over the gravel.
So your 5K has a check skin part of your warm-up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you know, I was doing my warm-up and it's like, hey, grab the top of my knee, and because I was pulling, doing pull-ups and another bit. Yeah, I had skin on my,
here.
It was skin there.
There
was skin there. Some of the obstacles were poorly designed. Two of the 12-foot walls that they had, you had 4x4s nailed into it. They had two of them. So you could climb the wall or just leap on top of it. A 12-foot wall, mind you.
The adventures of the average people.
Yes. I helped the other two people that I was with over the wall, and then I tried to climb the wall, and I couldn't. It was muddy, and I could not get a grip. So one time, I actually did get my hand on top of the wall, and you're expecting like a 2x4, something you can grab onto. No, this was like a 2x10, 2x12, so you had to creep. I couldn't reach far enough.
With nails sticking out of it.
I couldn't reach far enough. So
right,
I
to get
grabbed
the edge of it.
Yeah, to get the edge of it. So I slipped, fell back, and nearly landed on somebody. And I actually tweaked my glute at the time because I was trying to put my foot down behind me to catch me. So that was halfway through the damn thing.
Okay.
There was the climb up the mountain of mud underneath the barbed wire. That was freaking hilariously fun.
Always a good time.
A couple of times I was in water, I mean submerged in water under barbed wire. They had a lot of freaking barbed wire there. You get through all of this, actually about 2.5 miles into, you have the mud bogs.
Okay.
They're approximately 15 feet across. There's six of them. And at one point or another, they're about a foot deep. I know, because that's how far down my leg got stuck. I was like, I'm going to be here a while, guys. Just give me a second.
You know, in my mind, I'm already seeing somebody animate this and putting your
descriptions. I really
to
would.
It.
I would love to see somebody animate this. I just, with all the spills and chills and everything, the showers were outside. Because you get done with this thing.
Right, and you,
and
need,
you have to hose
you can't
off.
Get back
I got muddy
car.
And naked with a bunch of men.
And women.
I am not gay.
I am not. There was some. They had basically had garden hoses hooked over planks of wood.
Okay.
And no water pressure whatsoever.
No, you don't
so
need
we,
that.
We're, yeah, no, we don't need water pressure after hosing off mud. No, no. It was ridiculous.
So did you handle the hose to make sure a guy got completely cleaned off?
Okay.
Nope. I'm not gay.
Sorry. All right. So I've been, and of course, right after that, I'm standing outside in a pair of shorts, 53 some odd degrees, 55 degrees, soaking wet from head to toe. And I don't feel anything anymore because I'm completely numb at that point. Yeah. Needless to say, I got sick a couple days later.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would explain that.
Yeah. the tissues I
and
have.
And that's why
right
he
now.
Has nothing else in his geeky week.
Actually, no. I do
no,
have
because you can watch a lot of TV when you're sick.
Not if you're unconscious.
No. Defiance. Have you been watching it?
I have not.
I've caught like a couple of minutes of it.
This is apparently another one of these things that I mentioned that we should watch, and now that other people have said we should watch it, she asked me if we should start watching the show.
It's not other people. It's repetition. I need to hear about a show multiple times. It can be from you, but it's like vocabulary words where you need to like hear them more than once before they stick.
When I say things again and again and again, you absolutely adhere to them.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Nobody does.
Yeah, it's only been 11 years.
Defiance. Good show.
Are you playing the video game?
No.
Okay.
I'm not playing the video game.
It ties in.
I'm sure it does. I'm not going to do it, though.
Okay.
At least not right now. It's a good show. They're not doing the same old things that you expect from other TV shows that you've seen from other sci-fi shows. They're actually, you know, breaking the monotony up. They're doing a couple things that you may not expect.
That's all right.
It's mostly predictable, but it's not the same old thing over and over.
They've got
show.
A season two. They can do the same old thing next year.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's see. I got a gift from a listener.
You did?
Yes, I did.
I know.
It's Cards Against Humanity.
So fun. Oh my God, so fun.
Now, would you like to know a very interesting story about that?
Can you hand me the box? Yes.
The company that ships that is in Richmond.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I got it like the next day, apparently.
Yes, the absolute next day is when you got that.
It's awesome.
Yes, it is.
We've talked about Cards Against Humanity, but I was going to pull one out of the box randomly.
Sure, go for it. I'm supposed to make sure that you bring this to the show tonight.
Oh, okay. So, I brought this to the show.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
This is basically apples for apples, but for assholes.
Assholes to assholes?
Yes.
That would have been a good name for it.
That's a moon landing, then, and that's completely different.
Then they couldn't. I see what you did there.
Very good. You play this game pretty much, if you open a box, you're guaranteed that you're going to go to hell for playing this game because you laugh at some of the worst things
ever. Trying to find one you can read on the air?
Yeah. I grabbed a couple of them. I was like, I want to see how bad. The first one I grabbed out said dick fingers. I was like, I'm gonna lose. This is going to be a great game.
Oh, yeah. Edward Penis Hands. Yes, I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
There's just a lot of really good ones.
Oh, God. Okay. It's just absolutely.
Well, I have racially biased SAT questions, my genitals, picking up girls at the abortion clinic, science, not reciprocating oral sex, a good sniff, 50,000 volts straight to the nipples, historically black colleges, actually taking candy from a baby, switching to Geico.
Wow.
The Jews, my humps, winking at old people, a gentle caress on the inner thigh. Okay, I'm done. But wow, this game is so fun.
Yes, this is going to be a great game.
So you're going to say thank you?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate it very much. And I've already thanked her, you know, personally.
Shut your mouth.
What? The reason.
That is a lot, Bruce.
Star Wars night at Fallout.
Okay.
Fun.
It was a good time. A lot of. Nice costumes. We had the winner of the costume contest was something from accounting.
Nice. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That was a good one. He never broke character the entire time he was up on stage.
Good.
Which was really, really good. A couple of other people dressed up real nice. And yeah, there was a Darth Talon and a couple other people. So yeah, good stuff. The reason I'm currently using the paper, the old school method. What, you're still going through the damn things, aren't you?
I'm just going to randomly read them throughout the show.
Okay.
The good ones.
And maybe we'll turn them into drops, yes.
Oh, good God.
I caught them.
She did. That was like Jedi skills right there.
My boobs are full of midichlorians.
They are magical.
And magically delicious? Is that what you guys say?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So, paper?
Being a motherfucking sorcerer.
Okay.
The reason I'm still using the old school method is my computer is currently in the shop. Apparently, my virus scanner has not been working for the last month. And I have about 700 viruses on it.
Dude, you should only go to trusted porn sites, okay?
Yeah, those exist.
Mr. Skin.
It's only basically porn, though. It's only like
I was going to name
loosely
other ones.
Porn.
I can name others.
That's okay.
I'm sure. All right. But yeah, I brought it in yesterday. Went back today. I was like, hey, how's my computer doing? Just because, you know, just in case they hadn't called and it was a quick fix.
Right.
No. We're still running the virus scanner. You're about 700 virus. I was like, oh, yeah. I'll be waiting for that phone call on, like, Tuesday now. Thank you very much.
So then from your smartphone, you sent an email saying how you didn't have internet.
Actually, I sent it from my work computer.
That's even worse.
Well, that's how I got my news story
for
today.
That's even worse.
That's how I got my news story.
I don't have a computer. Here's an email telling you I don't have a computer, well, I don't know what number the show is.
Oh, let it go.
But that I have my notes on my laptop.
Okay.
That's why I keep track of the numbers that way.
You know, we have it on the website.
I'm sure we do. If I had time to look. I didn't really have time to look today.
Okay.
So other than being sick because of the run, that's pretty much been my geeky week.
Alrighty then. So
tickling Sean Hannity even after he tells you to stop.
So free comic book day.
Oh really?
Yeah, I forgot that.
Yes, indeed. Free comic book day.
That's we're at Velocity it was very
Comics
crowded.
With a shit ton of people. So yay.
Yay.
Yay, local comic book shops. Free stuff.
It took me a while to figure out that only like certain ones were free.
She's like, I wanted to start grabbing shit off the walls and everything. It's like, it's free. It's free comics. This is a comic. Yes.
You just get whatever you want for free. Trade paperback.
Absolute edition of Sandman. It doesn't count
no,
as the
it
free.
Doesn't.
Doesn't work that way.
That $100 sticker on it does not mean zero today.
So that was a good time.
Oh, good God. You're pulling out every fucking
I'm going to put them
box?
Back.
It was a good time.
I'm
indeed.
Sorting out the best ones.
Have to take a moment. We put it up on Facebook. It was at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. We lost Ray Harryhausen this week.
Yeah.
And that's just a flipping tragedy because after Willis O'Brien, if you were watching Creature Features on UHF channels in the 70s, you were watching Ray Harryhausen, whose Medusa from Clash of the Titans is still better than the goddamn CGI ones they did for this new fucking remake. And all I can say is, you know, when you see a guy sword fighting with a skeleton,
yeah,
that to this day
is still pretty cool.
Still damn impressive.
That, you still watch that type of stuff to this day. That showed what you can do with just basic stuff. And if you put a good imagination to it, you don't need everything. You don't need the biggest computer
see that?
In the world.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's old school.
Yeah?
No school like the old school.
You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue. So, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
He was at the... Where was he? He was in somewhere for a VCU thing like 4, 5, 6 years ago here. They showed Jason and the Argonauts, and he did like a little Q&A afterwards. So,
wow.
Yeah, so...
Oh, my goodness.
Gonna miss you, sir. Gonna miss
but
you.
But was he firing a rifle into the air while balls deep in a squealing hog?
No.
What? Cards Against Humanity. Thank you very much.
All right, can it beat this one?
It's like giving a handgun to a six-year-old. You don't know how it's gonna end, but you're pretty sure it's gonna make the papers.
Damn right. Damn right. All right, so for no particular reason, because it was on HBO, I've rewatched Airplane.
Okay.
And Airplane 2, the sequel.
Yeah.
But don't call him Charlie.
Now, that second one, man, wow. Such a complete just... How does that guy even get screenplay writing credit when he took all the effing jokes from the first movie? He took all the effing jokes.
It worked.
Oh, it didn't work. They didn't make that Airplane 3 that they said they were going to at the end credits there. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Been playing more Tomb Raider, which is just incredibly effing awesome.
I need to... I'll
get is it better than Harry Potter erotica?
Yes. Unless the Harry Potter erotica in question has anything to do with Hermione and, I don't know...
Jenny Weasley.
Jenny, Luna, Moaning Myrtle. I mean, I'm you know, as long as she's getting naked, that's really what I'm going for here.
Mm-hmm.
Really what I'm going for here. But no, Tomb Raider is an amazing effing game, and there's really nothing more fulfilling in this world than getting a headshot with a bow and arrow and the other guard doesn't see it. That's a good feeling, let me tell you. You know what's not a good feeling?
What?
007 Legends.
Oh.
This came in from Gamefly.
Yeah.
And I played it, and I was like, you know what? I'm incredibly tired. Maybe I'm just not in the right frame of mind. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to play it later. And I picked it back up and played it for an hour and went, no, this is going back.
It sucks that bad, huh?
It really wants to evoke memories of GoldenEye for you.
Yeah.
In fact, you can even play one of two ways. The new way, where your health slowly regenerates over time, or the old-fashioned way, where you have to pick up med kits and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Old school. It starts off with your little cinematic from Skyfall where he gets shot on top of the train.
Yeah.
And then he falls into the water and then remembers all these classic James Bond adventures that he hasn't had yet.
Well, timey-wimey. Well, he's a Time Lord.
Sure. I'm willing to go with that. But moving past that, I was very excited to see that Richard Kiel was going to be back as Jaws.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, Odd Job is in the... You start off your first mission, you're doing Goldfinger. So how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Except... The level layout, I'm not sure where the hell I am or what the hell I'm doing. The bad guys are boring, repetitive, generic. If you crouch down behind something and bad guys know where you are, eventually they will just walk around the thing and you can just shoot them. They will come to you. They will come to you. It is uninspired, stupid AI, and I just could not get into it in any way, shape, or form. So that went the hell back and I played more Luigi's Mansion.
It had to be better than a snapping turtle biting the tip of your penis.
It would have to be. In fact, yes, I would play hours and hours of 007 Legends.
Versus that. I shouldn't have gave her that box.
No, you really should not. So Bates Motel and Hannibal caught up. Well, no, I've got one episode of Hannibal sitting on the DVR, but I'm caught up on both of those except for that one episode. I'm enjoying the looks at the early stages of both of these criminals. But I'm having a problem with Hannibal in the fact that, like I said before, he's already a bad guy. You know, this is not any kind of... It's a prequel to Red Dragon, and the real prequel is to the point where, you know, where Hannibal ends up stabbing Will Graham and trying to kill him. That's what this is a prequel to, because other than that, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a killer.
Okay.
The cops are looking for him, and they don't know that they are.
Yeah.
What's the motivation? There's no motivation. It's just, hey, you watched Silence of the Lambs. We know you did. Here you go. Here's more Hannibal Lecter. That's what the show is.
Hmm.
Whereas Norman Bates is just now just getting an interest in taxidermy, which is just really creepy. Which is just really, really, really effing creepy. So there is that. So other than that, I believe that's going to be pretty much it for me as well. So yeah, I think we can finally, after all this time, move along.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
So except for the Ben Browder interview, which I still have to put up, the Starfest audio is there. It is up there.
Excellent.
Yay!
Interviews with Timothy Zahn, Michael Felsher, Julie Caitlin Brown, Nicole DeBoer. Absolutely. They're Deep Roy, who was just the greatest, coolest, awesomest guy ever. I don't even know how to describe what that was. That could have been a dinner theater special is what that could have been. That's just what I'm trying to explain. So yes, that is up there. You can find all that good stuff and more is to come.
Well, the big news is Warm Weather Pup Crawl.
Hey, I pointed at her and she didn't yell at me. Yay.
And I made a Facebook event. And so, you know, you should see it on the page. It is Saturday, June 15th. It's going to be way super crazy.
Saturday.
You can come early and have derby if you want, or you can just meet us and we can all go out and just drink and crawl and pub. And it's just going to be super, super fun.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's not the same weekend as my kids graduate high school.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, we tried, but we couldn't get everything to line up on the same day.
Yeah, well.
Damn, we tried really
hard.
I know
we tried.
Yeah?
Right. It's the day after, like, the last day of school, so yay.
So woo! Yay! So you're going to be ready then.
Well, it's not my last day, but it's the last day of school.
Still, she'll be walking around all day, you know, school's out. Yeah, that's how that works.
Do you remember the time on the last day of school?
Do I remember what?
The time on the last day of school where I played School's Out for Summer on Rock Band and I got 100.
That was her first 100.
Yep.
That was her first perfect.
That was inspired.
Indeed.
But it was no Mecca Hitler.
No.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. I have waited all my life to tell someone this. And I'm glad you guys are here.
I'm here. What you got for me?
The future occurred. What's today's date? It's the 10th? The 10th of May. May 10th, 2013.
Yes.
At 9 a.m.
Yes.
The future officially arrived. Because near a school in British Columbia, a flying car crashed into a tree.
Wait, it flew through the air and crashed, or it was actually a flying car?
It was a flying car. The car that crashed is called a Maverick. Built by a Florida-based Maverick LSA. The car uses a parachute and a propeller to fly. They're still trying to find out what happened. They're using this. It's supposed to be for missionaries and stuff in third world countries to be able to get around in the areas.
Yeah.
But a flying car this morning crashed into a tree.
Shouldn't the news story be that a flying car exists?
You would think.
No,
you
but it crashed.
You would think.
But I guess they're hard to maneuver.
They're, well,
that tree does, just sprung up.
It does sound like that. Now, you can say it was a flying car, or you can say that aliens are involved. Here's the picture, which you can also find in the story. But by God, thank you, Dante, for losing that left foot because we have flying cars because one crashed into a tree today.
Tree.
Windows agrees.
Indubitably.
Well, I've got some pretty cool news. And you think about science projects. This is the time of year where kids are doing science fairs at school. And the project I'm about to tell you about did not win the school competition.
Aww.
But this 14-year-old discovered that there's magnets in the iPad that could potentially shut off implanted defibrillators, like pacemakers. These magnets are built into every iPad that comes with the smart cover accessory. So it's not every single one.
Right.
But there's a certain smart cover accessory that has these little magnets that hold it in place,
like when
it covers. And Gianna Chien made the discovery as part of a science fair project that did not win, but she will be presenting her findings to doctors at the Heart Rhythm Society. Does that sound cool? Rhythm Society. But anyway, I mean, so she's 14 years old, and discovered, you know, made a basically major scientific discovery as part of a science project. So kids out there, it doesn't say.
What is goddamn Wesley. Volcanoes?
Wesley crushed with
30% nanobots. Of patients with defibrillators who put the iPads on their chest were affected by the device. So,
ooh, wow.
Not good at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, people with defibrillators out there, use Google.
Apple's trying to kill you.
Get an Android.
All right. We don't usually talk about rumors a whole heck of a lot. Okay, we do sometimes.
Bruce does the news.
Until I do the news. But this has kind of upgraded from rumor to, John Hurt actually said this. Basically, John Hurt is going to be in the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special.
Good for him.
Yes. He's going to be playing, well, the quote comes from John Hurt. Hurt, who lives near Cormorant, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
He has just finished shooting a Doctor Who 3D special in which he plays part of a doctor in kind of a trinity which involves David Tennant.
Oh, so he's going to be the White Guardian?
No.
Okay.
This is not the original rumor, but what it is what they're thinking it might be playing the forgotten actual Ninth Doctor, erased from memory because of his participation in the Time War. Indeed,
Paul McGann did the Time War. Okay, well, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Indeed, Hurt's use of the word Trinity perhaps suggests something a little more complicated than that, but possibly being David Tennant's past Doctor, Matt Smith's present Doctor, and John Hurt being some future Doctor. We're not totally sure what's going on.
I mean,
timey wimey, wibbly wobbly.
Forgotten Doctor. He was the only Time Lord. Okay. Well, that's just damned odd. And I don't know what to think of that.
Okay.
But you can think of that and other things if you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, the forums at GeekRadioDaily.com. News like Superman versus He-Man coming to a comic near you. Spider-Man 2 is going there. The first clip of the Lego Batman movie is up. Oh yeah, and they're going to be doing steampunk Legos. Shut up and take my money.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed. The Lone Ranger movie is going to be one of the biggest bombs of the summer. I think it will send people looking for the mid-1980s Lone Ranger disaster known as Legend of the Lone Ranger that starred Clinton Spilsbury as the masked man. And the sheriff from Twin Peaks was Tonto. God damn it. What is his name?
Wow.
Can't think of it. But that's from Bill from Albuquerque. His name is Michael something. I can see it. I got the trading cards for Twin Peaks and all that stuff.
Oh,
so.
My God. Your recall of things that absolutely will get you nothing but points on Jeopardy is just freaking amazing. I can't even remember what I had yesterday for lunch.
Well, thank you.
His memory is a thing of beauty. Whenever somebody talks about a movie and I'm not sure if I've seen it, I'd be like, hey, baby, have I seen that movie? And he knows all the time.
So there's that. Like, yeah, we saw this and we had this for dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a story. Dexter, not a story, but a mail message. Dexter mixed with Smallville. Two arch enemies becoming friends who are both hiding themselves from the world. The Tattler is kind of the Wall of Weird. Damn it, Mr. Flynn, you might have just ruined Hannibal for me. That's from Martin.
Well, it is. Hannibal is Smallville mixed with Dexter. Wow. Yeah, because if you look at the Clark and Lex thing, as Will as Clark and Lex as Hannibal, they are both hiding, but they looked their confidants to each other. Yeah, wow. And the Tattler is a tabloid. That good call. Okay, good. I'm glad I ruined that for somebody. Have fun with it. It's got its moments. It's just not quite what I thought it was going to be. That's all. You know, if you'd like to drop a message to us, you can. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flint, at GeekRadioDaily.com. Of course, you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
I'm sorry, what is that number?
510-GRD-CREW.
Are you sure?
510-GRD-CREW.
You don't look good.
I don't?
Well, you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're a silky boy.
Don't overlook my body. I work out all the time. And reaping burns a lot of calories.
It's we haven't done a Fit Club in a while.
I know we haven't. It's a GRD Fit Club. It's a GRD Fit Club.
I like the Klub.
Klub. It's all the geek without the weight.
That's from Sweden, right? The Klub.
The Klub. GRD.
Wow.
Indeburger. Indeburger? Wow.
Just making up words.
I noticed.
It sounded like something else.
Yeah, it sure did. Okay, I'm going to let it go.
Sounded like a whole lot of something else.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. Right there. I wasn't going to bungle that one. Okay, go ahead.
All right. For those of you who have not been listening to the show since the beginning.
Oh, well, the first show sucked.
I'm going to tell you what the number one rule to lose weight is. Eat less and work out more.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait, slow it down.
I know. Slow down. Sorry.
What's that you say?
Yeah, cardiovascular exercise is the number one way to lose weight. The second is to diet. Okay, to put the two together and you've had to lose weight just like you need to, or just like you want to.
Or just like you have to.
Well, some people have to.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I accept your apology.
Okay. Sure. Keep thinking of apology.
I will.
All right. Don't forget the resistance training that goes along with it. If you're starting off, 30 minutes of cardiovascular exercise, you do it 3 days a week. You want to do it at a rate of perceived exertion level, or an RPE, of 7. Now, this is a 10-point scale, 1 being you're not really doing anything. You're sitting on the couch eating bonbons with a remote control in your hand. 10 is you're running for your life from the zombie apocalypse, from the fast zombies. 7, you're working hard, but you can kind of do this pace for 30 to 45 minutes without a major problem.
Okay.
So you want to work out about that hard. I don't tell people heart rate levels because everybody's a little bit different. They vary so much.
Vary by user.
Yeah, pretty much. And you want to, your weight loss goal should be about 1 to 2 pounds per week. Don't go crazy with it. And get started now. Bathing suit season's coming up pretty soon.
Yep.
And if you want to lose that 10 pounds before bathing suits really are out there and you're all on the beach for summer vacation, now's a good time to get started.
Okay. We can do that.
So, yes. Move more, eat less, get out there and do it.
Again, it's that Bloom County comic where Opus wants help losing weight, and Milo keeps telling him, so we're going to eat less and exercise more, and Opus just keeps naming all these fad, crazy-ass diets, and all Milo goes is, eat less and exercise more? Brilliant. Brilliant times. You know, there's a Fit Club section at the forums at geekradiodaily.com.
Which is maybe the reverberation, huh?
That's really all there is to say. Yeah, don't know what else to say to that there. So, hang out where you are. We'll be right back. We are talking Iron Man 3. And don't worry, we'll warn you, the spoilers are all coming up at the end. Because if you did them at the beginning, that'd just be effing
silly. Yeah.
So hold that thought.
Two longtime fans of two Bionic shows discuss an episode in detail every 2 weeks with one guest host. The $6 million man, the Bionic woman, the mythology, a look behind the scenes, those sound effects, and the fashions. Oh my God, the fashions. Cyborgs, a Bionic podcast. Hosted by John S. Drew and Paul K. Bisson. Find us at chronicriff.com/cyborgs or subscribe on iTunes.
Hi, this is Julie Caitlin Brown of Babylon 5, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Hey, check it out, guys. What do you think of my new haircut?
Is that gel in your hair?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, if you live in the 1980s.
Well, it keeps it looking fresh after being under my mask all day.
I like it. Now you just need to work on your body odor.
Nope, that's me.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Marvel Mashup!
Hello, this is Iron Man.
Tony, it's your mother.
Mother, it's Iron Man when I'm in the suit.
Tony, I want to know if you're going to be able to make it to dinner this weekend.
No, I don't.
The Johnsons are coming over and we'd really like to see you.
Really, Mom, I can't. I'm kind of busy saving the world right now.
Oh, I forgot you're such a big shot. Sorry to bother you. Goodbye.
Well, let's have a look at what's on these computers. Whoa! Well, I've heard of computers crashing, but this is ridiculous.
It is I, the Beetle, introducing the new iDesk. It fits conveniently in your hand. It's handheld.
Hi, kids. Firestar here. If somebody tells you it's not cool to be a drama queen, just break down and cry and have a tantrum. Bye.
Hey, Mr. Stark, I really like your tie.
Thank you. I tied it myself.
Wow, is there anything you can't do?
Eat my own face.
Jeeves, looks like we hit a bug.
More like a bug hit you!
My name's Harold, not Jeeves.
I'm your boss. I can pretty much call you whatever I want.
Hey, Tony Stark, we were all just wondering how you made that Iron Man suit.
I'll tell you, but you have to promise not to tell anyone.
We won't.
It's made out of cheese.
Iceman, you were right!
And welcome back to GRD's Weekly episode
194.
So, yeah, Marvel mashups. If you're not watching Ultimate Spider-Man, you're missing Marvel mashups.
And oh, my God.
Dear God, they are so, so, so wonderful. But I realized they only had one with Iron Man? That's crazy. I looked through them all, and that's technically Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
I've seen an Iron Man one.
Okay, I couldn't find another one. So that was fine enough because I can do anything I want except eat my own face. Indeed. So, yes, the summer movie season has started, you know, because we talked about it last week. But, yes, Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 is in theaters. It is out. This is the next film in the long, 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 long history of Iron Man stories. We remember Iron Man. Quickly flashback. It was what? 1963, Bruce.
Okay.
It was 1963.
Wow.
when Stan Lee said, you know what? It's the 60s. You know what kids hate nowadays? They hate war.
Yeah.
And people that have anything to do with the army. So I'm going to make a guy that designs weapons for the military and make him a superhero and have kids eating out of the palm of my hand because I'm Stan Lee and I'm
Stan
a god.
Stan freaking Lee, yeah.
That's right. So crazy enough, somehow that worked.
Who knows?
And there you go.
Iron Patriot rocks.
Iron Patriot rocks.
That's stupid name.
68 or something. I didn't remember what the hell it was. I don't remember what it was. There's been cartoons, the ones from the 60s, which were not that good. There was
the ones from the 90s that were really bad.
The Marvel Power Hour, which had an Iron Man cartoon and a Fantastic Four cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Hayes, oddly enough, from Airplane,
yeah,
did the voice of Tony Stark.
Hmm.
So there's, although if you watch that, it's so weird. Like Iron Man's not even in his own opening title segment.
Yeah,
it's such an odd cartoon. They don't care. They don't care.
Yeah,
I think it's better than the one where he's a teenager.
Oh God, yeah, that was horrible.
Teenage Iron Man,
yeah, the Iron Armored Adventures or something
yes,
like that. Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
No, he cannot be a high school student. I don't care.
No, it doesn't. That doesn't work for me. That
because that's really hard to get that shrapnel into your chest when it's you know, it's
so oddly well yeah. You know, school shootings nowadays.
Yeah.
So the Avengers really is the only cartoon that the one that's out now. The, yeah. The Avengers cartoon now.
Yeah,
is the only
well the one that no the one that was just on, not the one that's coming on.
Oh yes,
the new one. Yeah, because they have to reboot something they just did 20 minutes
ago.
Of
course they do. They have to make people forget because Marvel needs to come up with all new stars because now it's going to be too expensive to make these movies and they don't like to pay their actors anything and they think they can just put anybody in the role of Tony Stark.
Ah! Not going to happen.
Nope.
This movie did make a lot of money, though.
Yes, it certainly did.
And, you know, it's still making money, but it's over $200 million. Second biggest opening since the Avengers.
Yeah. Which is another Iron Man-esque movie.
There was that.
Yeah.
And there was that really cool Iron Man episode of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Well, there's a couple of them, actually.
There is. Yeah. But, you know,
Iron Spider.
Yeah, the Iron Spider one was pretty good. It was pretty
good. I'd like to see.
Okay. Yeah. I can find that. It's on Netflix because that's first season. That's season one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
The Spider-Ham was also an episode of season one.
That was great.
But I digress. Iron Man 3, and we're going to not do spoilers at first, but you'll know when they're coming.
You'll
know. And then we'll warn you.
We'll let you know.
We'll let you know. So Iron Man 3 does follow the events of the Avengers. You have, you know, everyone knows this has all happened before. Tony Stark is having some issues.
PTSD type issues, yeah.
Coping with his place in the universe. Yeah. The multiverse at this point, with everything that's gone down. And much like Iron Man 2, his past comes back to haunt him.
Yes, but in a little bit of a different way.
It was basically Iron Man 2 redone, but just done better.
You know, I'll have to give you that. I will have to give you that because Iron Man 2 wanted to play with the sins of the father type of thing.
Kind of, right. And this is the whole, like, he didn't pay attention to the scientist dude who... I love when they try to make attractive people look unattractive in movies and, like, the things they do. Like, bad hair and we'll put bad skin on you.
And it's, bad teeth and whatever. Yeah,
we know that, that you're...
Wait. She's a tomboy with Independent Street because wearing glasses and a backpack. No.
So it makes you pay attention to them, even though it would have been better if they were more of a throwaway character. I don't know.
Yeah,
so...
But him standing up on the roof, you know, was both sad and also like, oh, crap, this is not going to end well.
You know that one guy in the back of the class you used to pick on all the time?
Well, one day he's going to have a company, too.
Yeah, comes out as a megalomaniac.
So if you're an Iron Man fan, the extremist storyline is used. The name AIM is dropped a couple times, which is a good fanboy moment. War Machine has become Iron Patriot.
Because of marketing.
It would make a great action figure to sell at Target.
That was actually, I like the fact that they did that because it was marketing. They had the panels and they said, oh, it served better. You know, it's like, no.
Yeah, really?
War Machine. No, Iron Patriot.
So there's a new villain out there in the world, this terrorist named the Mandarin, who there's bombings going on and they can't find any kind of trace of what's going on. He is a cold, calculated, just... I thought that Ben Kingsley was channeling Agent Smith from The Matrix
a little
because I kept waiting for him to go
deadpanned
Mr. Anderson. I kept waiting. I kept waiting, Mr. President. I kept waiting for
He actually did that, do that a little bit. Mr. President. Yeah.
Yeah, he did the Mr. President. That's what made me oh, just say Anderson. Please be President Anderson. Please be President Anderson.
But this is very well done. You can see him, Ben Kingsley just chewing up scenery. Just absolutely just amazing.
In all the best ways humanly possible.
Oh my God. Beautifully done.
So,
beautifully done.
It is a two-villain story. No shocker. You've seen that. You know that that's happening. Tony Stark's got to, again, try to face his demons without the use of his technology when he ends up in Tennessee with the suit that no longer works.
Yes.
And thus begins an interesting chunk of the film, which I'm going to save my thoughts on until a moment later. But, of course, by the time it's all said and done, he's got his stuff back. He figures out what's going on. He gets some help from Rhodey, and they've got to save the president, and they've got to stop the big, crazy plot going on. So, all in all, did you have a good time with Iron Man 3?
It was fun. I don't feel compelled to go see it again in the movie theater, but I would definitely watch it again for sure. Or maybe, like, when it's at the Bird or something like that, like, I might go see it again. But, no, it was definitely fun.
I've been telling everybody this. It's better than part two.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, yeah. Definitely
it's hard not to do that. I'm just saying, I think that franchises just phone it in on the second one because they know you're going to come because you like the first one. And then you know that they'll give you one more chance when you make a third one that looks like it's halfway decent.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of like, come on already.
They had more material to work with this time. So because of the Avengers, they had something different. Not just, you know, the whole demon in the bottle, for instance, of the father type stuff. But
which apparently they're never going to do.
Yeah, they're never going to do.
Okay, that's demon crazy. They're not going to do Demon in the Bottle. That would just be too awesome if they did.
Yeah.
So Hancock is the Demon in the Bottle storyline that we have to live with. Hancock, really?
Wow.
Son of a fist bitch.
So
fist wiener.
Fist wiener.
Miss you, Josh.
So this was a very good. I like the story. I like how they did it. I like, without getting a spoiler, I like the twist.
Good twist.
It was a great twist.
Did not see the twist coming.
Nope.
Didn't know there was a twist, so sorry.
I actually didn't even know.
A twist.
And you still won't know. You have no idea what we're talking about. As you're watching it, you're like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, right. Twist. But like the homages, I like the comedy. They threw in a couple of jokes, maybe one or two too many. But yeah, it was still a very good job. I like this version of it.
I will say I had a lot of fun. I did have a lot of fun with it. It's, for the most part, is a pretty good time. It, in my opinion, does kind of derail itself at the end. And I'm going to save that for the spoiler section because there's something about the end that really kind of pisses me off and I think negates a lot of what happened in the movie. But I thought that the concept of you know, Tony running around trying to figure out, as Tony, this is not, this is like
less
Iron Man 3 Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. I liked, you know, that of him trying to fight with stuff and deal with stuff as him instead of being able to put the suit on.
Yeah, even Tony was fighting the bad guys as just Tony. He was, you know, kind of super agent-ish at that point.
Well, he's worked with S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
Yeah.
He knows some stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he doesn't have a problem with the world knowing who he is, but that whole thing about him, like, inviting the bad guys to his house and just kind of, you know, that's from the beginning of the movie, so that's not so much of a spoiler. The other thing is, sorry to kind of be all over the place, but, like, Pepper Potts, she's, like, on the poster prominently with him. You know, she's doing all the press. She's not in this movie very much at all. Like, you know, he wants her safe and he wants her away, but, like, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of her. They're certainly not doing a rescue spin-off.
Well, near the end, they got a lot of her.
They didn't Jane Foster her, so.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of the ending, though, that was, like, the scenes with the climax, the fight, the big bad guy fight.
Yeah.
Not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Right?
By the way, there's going to be a fight at the end.
A bit improbable. That whole thing about swinging from one thing to the other and then timing it exactly right and perfectly was like, wow.
Both
really?
Times I was like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah you lost me right
now.
There.
Watching
yeah.
a movie. Totally watching a movie. I don't know if was she in it more in this one than she was in two? I don't really remember. Two was kind of. Oh, and FX. Go to hell. So FX is showing Iron Man.
Yeah, they're showing a lot of Iron Man.
Right, but they're showing a pan and scan version of Iron Man.
Of course they are.
And then when Iron Man, and then the previews and everything are all back in widescreen.
Yeah.
And then when Iron Man 2 comes on, it's in widescreen. I'm like, really?
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 Oh, they did
yes,
that one.
Yes, they did that one. Which didn't make a lot of sense to me. What is his name? What is Guy Pearce's name? Alice?
Oh.
I was, you know him. You know him. The guy. The guy from the movie with the extremist stuff.
That guy.
I thought he was an interesting villain who had probably the best setup for a future movie that anyone did in the entire thing. Because early on when he goes to show Pepper Potts his brain, which will make sense, she sees something else.
Yeah.
A picture from space. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
Oh, sorry. Wrong image there.
I don't do anything by accident, so I love the 1999 flashback that we have at the beginning. Jon Favreau,
oh yeah,
with the mullet.
Is
something that must be seen.
Yes.
And of course you see from the first Iron Man, very beautiful. I love how they dropped him in there.
Well, they say we met at convention. Yeah, we met. Barely, yeah, yeah. Barely. That was a moment of awesomeness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like how that one night really set up a lot of stuff that happened to
you. Can
to
rank
Mr.
the quality of the Iron Man movies based on how much screen time that actor has. Because think about it, right? In the first movie, he's in the movie a lot, and then in this one, he's in the movie a little bit, and then the second one, he wasn't there at all.
So there you go.
That's
it's
how we rank
all
it.
That guy.
That guy.
So 1, 2, 3 belongs to 1, 3, 2.
Yeah,
that's how that works. So good for him for not being the you know, the guy that shoots Uncle Ben in Spider-Man to keep coming back every film, getting expanded story. Like, good for you for that, not having that happen. Special effects, gotta say, were quite impressive.
Yes, I enjoyed them. They were very good. Even there were a lot of special effects that weren't special effects. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that you didn't see being special effects.
Indeed. This one was freed from the concept that they're not prepping for the Avengers, because I believe what I've said many times is my biggest problem with Iron Man 2 is it was trying so hard to fit in with the whole Avengers thing. Hey, look, there's Cap Shield, and now we're going to be at the donut shop. And Clarkson's around all the time. Just whatever. this was not bogged down by any of that. Of course, you need to stay to the end of the movie. That's just how that thing works. But should we throw out a rating before we go to spoilers?
Yeah, let's throw a rating.
Yep.
I'm going 8.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say 7.5.
Really? Wow.
You thought it was much worse than that?
I'm going about a 6.
Wow.
6.5.
6.5?
It was okay. It was better than a 6.
It was a decent time. It's not fantastic. It's it's a good movie. It's not a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Good one, not a great
one. That's why I would put like a 7. I don't know. I guess I'm just like an easier grader, but yeah.
Well, it also pissed me off because I was liking it more until we got to the ending. And again, the ending negates a lot of what happened. So we're going to kind of have to move on. So kids, at this point, mark your watches, because we're going into spoiler territory. You can come back 2 minutes before the end of this show.
Yes.
And you should not get any spoilers whatsoever, okay? Here's your warning.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
Spoilers is the rest of this
section. Oh, yeah, good. Thank you. Let's do it. All right.
Iron Man 3. We have an email that I couldn't read before. Iron Man 3 was great. Okay. The after credits was a waste of my time.
Yep.
Seriously, especially after sitting through a phone book of names for every human that was actually in.
Yeah.
The fecal matter thing they did on House, kinda. She destroyed her microflora using internet antibiotics, and her husband or whatever had to have his poop liquefied and given her to restore his
From my story.
Because I kept trying to remember, I was like, what the hell is that about? Oh, right. She had some shit she was talking about. Yes. So back at the beginning through, or should we start with the after credits sequence and just get that the hell out of the way?
Let's get that out of the way. That was worthless.
It was kind of fun until you realized it served no point whatsoever?
Yeah, none. No point whatsoever. It was a little fun, but you know what? Throw that in like after 5 minutes of credits, not 15.
So that's what they did when they took off together at the end of the Avengers?
Yeah, that was just not worth waiting.
No, because all this happened after that point.
Right.
And the whole like 70s thing, montage
thing. Oh my God. Thank you.
It was just weird. It was just disjointed.
When the credits start, they fade to black and the credits start and it kicks in and it's 70s action
Starsky
style.
Starsky and Hutch, and it was just like...
When I watched it with Kingfish is like, what the hell is with this 70s cop show thing? And then the rest of the credits was that they're going, tonight on a very special Maddox. The guys hunt against the clock as they try to find the chief on an all-new Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, that was suicide.
So he starts to watch it with me, and he's just waiting to see like what my reaction is. I'm looking at him, and I go, what the hell is this?
And it's weird because it went to black, and people were getting ready to clap, and then the 70s thing happens, and everyone is like, what's going on? And then no one ever clapped for the movie. So the credits sequence, the Avengers gave us something that technically was pointless at the very end.
Yeah, but it was fun.
But they had already given us...
something to connect to it, yeah.
They gave us Thanos before.
Yes.
So they gave us the, and then gave us this, which is like, okay.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah.
This didn't relate to anything.
Well, it did kind of at the very beginning of the film,
sure,
where
he's talking to somebody.
He's talking to him, and you realize it's Banner that you're talking to, but you could have given me something more. Something.
Something more indeed.
Like
now,
Ant-Man. Like something.
Well, I really thought when he was talking, I was like, oh my God, he's with a therapist. Oh my God, it's going to be Doc Samson.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't Doc Samson.
No.
And that kind of bugged me a little bit. Because I'm like, oh, all right, well, that's...
Thor is next. So it should have been something Thor related.
They mentioned Thor.
I know.
The guy with the hammer. I was like, oh, hey, they mentioned him.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So here's why the movie gets a 6.5 in my opinion.
Okay.
We start off that opening montage with all the suits exploding. That's a powerful, powerful moment.
Yes.
That is setting up the big, big thing that happens.
Yes.
And when Tony Stark, you know, says, hey, this is where I live, come get me. And then they do. Oh, mm-hmm. Jesus, this is the moment.
Yeah.
And when he crashes in Tennessee
mm-hmm.
with the suit that now doesn't want to work, and he's got to walk through the flipping cold and steal a poncho from a cigar store Indian.
Which is so beautiful.
The next 45 minutes is Tony Stark with no tech whatsoever
mm-hmm.
trying to get information and try to get himself back on an even playing field.
Yes.
And then at the end of the movie, in the big battle sequence,
he can call all the suits.
He calls all the suits! What was the point of that sequence? The whole point was this was his last goddamn suit. It was a prototype. It wasn't working that well. And then you called in everything. And if I may say, you effing called the Hulkbuster suit Leroy? Sorry. Yeah. When he called in the suits, the movie pissed on itself. Because everything that I cared about for the last 45 minutes, even when I got past the kid.
Yeah. Why did they put a kid in this film?
Because, look, he's a brilliant kid, just like Tony Stark is.
No.
That kid could have been a lot more annoying.
He could have been a lot more.
He was actually kind of funny. My dad went to the grocery store to get some scratchers. He must have won it. It was 6 years ago.
Well, I loved, I know you're cold. You know I can tell? Because we have a connection.
Worth a try.
So the little moments, like, it was good.
Yeah.
But this all happened because he couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing else he could do
mm-hmm.
because he had to get a suit back. And then he had suits. What the hell got exploded? So he had some top secret.
Well, the thing is, I don't think he could contact Jarvis that way. I don't think he could contact Jarvis when his suit malfunctioned.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was the whole point.
So he used a phone booth to tie into the Stark servers to leave a private message for Pepper that she could see in his helmet.
Yeah.
But he couldn't reach Jarvis any other way.
I guess. I don't know. That's how. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. So at that moment, it became another sequel to me. I was having a fun time until that moment. The extremist storyline is incredibly rushed. It only worked. I don't know how well that worked for anybody else, but I know this storyline. It's one mm-hmm. of the more recent, really good Iron Man storylines. And I think it was kind of given the real quick through for the movie.
Yeah, they had to.
Sure, they had to, but that took away some of the power of what was going on there. Which,
yeah. And why are these guys? Why are they doing this? What, you know, the
hey badges, badges. Hey pal, badge. Yeah. So that's what really did it for me, because overall I don't think it holds up as well, because the first time I watched it, at the end of it, I laughed at the post credit sequence thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second time watching it, all the stuff that was wrong with the movie was very blatantly out there.
Mm.
It tried a lot of things, not all of them worked, but I kind of admired it for that.
Yeah,
because it was trying new things. But all the suits showed up. I'm sorry, all the suits showed up, and I'm sorry, but Don Cheadle is not James Rhodes. He's Terrence Howard is Rhodey.
You're still not going to hold on. You're going to hold on to that forever,
he's
aren't you?
Pointless. Yeah. There's no reason for War Machine to be in this movie other than they can have that really cool thing happen on the plane.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. They gave it some thing, but they did marketing research.
Yeah.
Iron Patriot's better than War Machine. It's so they could sell another toy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that happened was they could sell another toy.
Well, that's why they put the Iron Man at the end, too, because they can sell more toys that way.
Exactly.
I didn't like the fact that they put a kid in this thing. I'm like, why is there a little? Is the dog next?
Oh, I was kind of expecting it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I was. But they still did a great job with it. They still, you got the cliches, but they did a great job with it.
Okay, so
bad job. Hey, cliches are cliches. They work, but if they're done well, they don't look like cliches.
Okay, well, that is the argument I tried to use to people for Avatar. So, all right. The biggest bone of contention for the world is there are really people that are pissed off that the Mandarin was not
the Mandarin.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Because it's that
thing all the time with, like, when you're interpreting, you're making a movie that was based on something, whether it's a graphic novel, whether it's a book, whatever it is. Do they keep it exactly the same? Do they make changes? If they had kept everything exactly the same from, like, the ripped right from the pages of a book, then there wouldn't be any surprises.
I like the fact that they didn't make the Mandarin because every single person out there was expecting the rings to come into action, respecting it to be the Mandarin, expecting to. And that was the nice twist. They played you against yourself.
They absolutely did.
But then that means they can't ever use that character for real.
Well, that's fine. They got plenty of others.
Well, in fairness, and they've done a lot better job modernizing him as time has went along, but the Mandarin is an inherently racist character.
Really?
He was the Fu Manchu of the Marvel Universe, let alone Iron Man. And if you put him in there as his original characterization is, then yeah, he would have been this two-dimensional bit of fluff. But this way, every time he was on the screen, I was fascinated. And then we learn it, I'm just sitting there blinking like,
wow.
What is going on? And I thought that was an amazing twist.
I love that twist.
That was a wonderful villain moment where you're like, you know, evil needs a face. And once it has a face, people hunt for it. So give it something.
Yeah.
Although he's an idiot thinking as an actor that he's going to get another job after this. But.
This is great. Right. He's drunk. He's like, hoarding
it's like,
around.
Sure.
It's
I mean, it's enough money. He was probably just going to be done. Yeah.
I've got the beers. See, love Ben Kingsley. That duality of that character was just beautiful.
I could possibly bump that up to 7 for him alone. And that's really the high point for me is that. And well, the little bits that Pepper did get to do. She's awesome when she's in it.
Yeah.
She's absolutely awesome when she's in it. She is so natural, so just not acting, it seems like, when she's in these movies.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see her work in this. And then she's really the best thing of part two and was not in it enough.
Yeah.
But so this one wraps up and it kind of makes it sound like that's going to be the last one.
Well, they did see at the end, you did see it say Tony Stark will be back.
You noticed that, didn't you?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Tony Stark will be back.
Didn't say Iron Man would be back. And it blew up all the suits. I'm like, really? Really?
You blew
up
not like he can't them? Just make more,
yeah.
But still.
Yeah, he made 42 of them.
There were lots of explosions in this movie.
Yes, lots of explosions.
Good explosions. Good explosions.
I love how they brought back a lot of the old
bunny.
Iron Man.
We didn't need the stupid bunny. I'm sorry, the explosions made me think of the house and the bunny, the huge stuffed bunny thing with the boobs / hands. Not necessary at all.
They were paws. I never saw it as boobs.
No.
See what you want to say.
I'm just saying, one time it looked like boobs.
Okay.
But I like the fact that they went old school with some of these Iron Man armors that they came up with. I mean, the one with the high shoulders.
Yeah.
You saw them quickly, but you went... Oh, yeah, that one.
You had a good 40 years worth of Iron Man suits in that little bit, which was cool. But at the same time, I was mad because, no, he can't have access to the suits. And where the hell even are they right now? Because
they're below.
No.
Wait.
Where were they fighting at?
I don't remember.
Exactly.
Yeah, some dock.
It took hours and hours for him to get to Tennessee. Were they still in Tennessee?
No.
Remember at this point? Were they back?
They were back. Back in L.A.
Didn't he leave his suit then in Tennessee? Did that?
Yeah, he did.
And
but
it took forever to fly back?
Well, yeah, but that's when he was calling it.
If he had that one suit only and was able to fight against all odds to pull it off, that would have been impressive. But for him to call in all his toys... that they explicitly showed us at the beginning were gone.
Well, those were
heavily implied.
Yes.
That he had to do this a completely different way because he only had this one suit left.
Yeah.
They lied. They lied to me.
I don't see that.
And it really, sorry. That part just really effing bothered me. It really, really, really did. But yes, when he shows the picture of the brain to Pepper Potts at the beginning.
Yeah.
That little picture of space.
Uh-huh.
I got to freeze frame that, but that's helping set up Avengers 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Probably.
But a big thing to talk about here is, yes, Tony Stark will return. Downey's contract is done.
He's done.
His contract is done.
But he has said that they're already asking him to come back, and they're negotiating.
Of course they are.
Oh, of course they are.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's already getting more money than any of the rest of these people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing is built around Robert Downey Jr.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's the linchpin.
The rest of them now have some maneuvering room to be like, well, look, you gave him all this money. You gave him points on the back end. You gave him this. You gave him that.
Yeah.
What's the deal? You know, don't you kind of need us?
Thor can carry his own movie. And I'm just saying, like, it's going to be, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if the second Thor movie, how it does at the box office and everything. But it should do really freaking well.
I believe that Marvel thinks they can replace and get another Thor if they have to. Wait. I believe they think they can get another Captain America. And both of those guys did things with that role that I'm not sure anybody else could do. But I'm telling you now, you can't put anybody else in.
You're not getting Tom Cruise in this role. No, thank God, no.
No, no, no. Well, because as
sorry,
much
I had
as
to break
was,
your brain
he
for
was
that one.
Not Sherlock Holmes.
I was actually
Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
He absolutely is.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, other things that he's been in, he's amazing. Sherlock
well, he's
Holmes
Tony
is just
Stark
the one
too.
Thing.
That's the thing. I mean, to be able to play both sides of that, we didn't see very much Tony Stark in this one. Just a little bit in that flashback, but
yeah.
We saw more Iron Man than Tony Stark. But still, he very well plays both those two characters.
I do like what's going on there. I don't know what they're going to do with all this, but with Avengers 2 coming up, you've got to have him in Avengers 2. And if you have him, you're going to have to sign him for more Iron Man movies, which means...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Well, although they will.
Of course they will.
Yeah.
Of course they will. I honestly think they still could... I'm sorry, folks. I know we're jumping around like crazy people.
Have you listened to the show before?
I know, right? I think if you really wanted to do the Mandarin the way he's supposed to, I think you could. I think you could, because let's not forget, the Ten Rings existed in the first movie.
Well, the thing is... He had that. He already said that. He created all of the Mandarin stuff. He created all of that.
Then the people that Tony Stark got away from in the first movie were working for him?
Yep.
Okay, well, maybe they didn't get the memo that they're not supposed to be doing it, but I think that guy from the first one could turn around and still be the Mandarin, the way we know the Mandarin, if they wanted to do it. Because that's what I thought that they were doing in the first movie, was setting him up to eventually be the Mandarin. That's just my thought.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if the Mandarin is a title, just because this, you know, actor guy is
wouldn't
out of
mind
the picture,
that either. Yes.
Right? Like Ra's al Ghul.
It worked there. It worked there. So I don't think I'd
you
mind that.
You way geekified me. Wow.
Damn right I have. So, yeah. So, final thoughts?
Still a very good film. I would go see it again, but like I said, at the Bird or something like that. But yeah.
If you haven't seen it, though, you should go see it.
Oh, definitely.
In the
did you 3D or 2D it?
2D.
Okay, yes. I did not.
I don't waste my money on 3D.
I might for Gatsby. It was filmed in 3D. So
I won't waste my money for that.
So, yeah. By all means, feel free to tell us what you think. And after you've seen the movie and actually gone back and listened to this episode, please feel free to tell us what you think. Because, we'd like to talk about this some more. Because... it is splitting the community quite a bit. A lot of things about the movie in general, stuff that happens in the movie itself.
Yeah.
It's
not everybody loved it, huh?
No, they didn't, but it's like you said, it's the second biggest opening since Avengers. And hey, maybe once we see all the Chinese scenes, it'll make a lot more sense. No, it won't.
No.
It won't at all.
No.
But they're making a short movie out of this. So weird. Welcome back, everybody.
I won't even do my racist Chinese food my voice. Nope.
Thank you.
Not going to happen.
Aw. Well, the world's going to miss out. GRD's License, Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, 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 3.0 license. Make sure you come by and check us out at the forums at geekradiodaily.com, Facebook, Twitter, all those fun places. Drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, was all at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
I'm sorry, that's where? Who, what now?
510-GRD-CREW.
We will see you in a week.
Talk dirty to Bullwinkle. Call 1-900-MOOSE-ME.
What do you think?
It stinks.
As an added twist, I'm just three ducks in a man costume.
I hope you found tonight therapeutic, because I would love to pretend that that was my plan.
Give me a smooch for good luck. I might not make it back.
Go get him, boss.
You complete me. I might not make it back.
Go get him, boss.
What the? What? Why would you do that? I need that.
I just kind of thought you'd jump out and get it.
Oh, you did. That's dangerous. I don't think you get it, okay? I need that to see when I fly. Land the plane. This is going to be a massive, massive search effort.
Go get him, boss.
Rejected! You know what? The minute I did that, it felt obnoxious. I apologize.
Go get him, boss.
You complete me.
Go get him, boss.
Show me the money.
Go get him, boss.
You had me at hello.
Go get him, boss.
I'm finished. I'm f***ed. 24 hours ago, man, I was hot. Now I'm a cautionary tale. You see this jacket I'm wearing? You like it because I don't really need it because I'm cloaked in failure. That's also from Jerry Maguire. Go get him, boss. Oh, no. Oh, God, that was supposed to be me. I might not make it back.
Go get him, boss.
Somebody stop me!
Go get him, boss.
Wait a minute. If you're here with me, then who's flying the plane?
I am. Everything's fine.
Oh, good.